Good morning. Good Chodesh. First day Chodesh Elul. Meirotzon. Well, great is Chus. Today's Moshe Rabbeinu brought out Luchas Shneiros to be Isaac in Divrei Torah. First thing, what is Chus going to be? Torah Barabim. I mean, I really would have been to speak about something which is in Nogea to Yom Yoma, perhaps Yom Neroim, but Bein Azamanim unfortunately didn't allow me the luxury. So I'm just going to share with you an interesting shaila, which I saw, an interesting tshuva, interesting discussion, and some interesting nafkaminos, halacha lemaisa. The shaila is a shaila presented to the Sri De'esh. The Sri De'esh, in the new version of Sri De'esh, in Er Chaim Simon Nun Zayin, someone asked him, is it mutter to test out the trustworthiness of an employee by leaving some money in the room and then walking out? Is it mutter to put the employee in that matzav of nisoyin? Or is it also? We know generally speaking there's an issa in the Torah, lifnei iver lo yisitei michshel. One's not allowed to set up a circumstance which is going to cause somebody else to be over an aveira. So heichin edayna lahay dino. There's a similar variation presented in the Tshuvos of Rishonim Zalman Oyerbach, where someone asked him, they have a worker, an employee, who they mistrust, they're choshed that they were over, they were choshed that they've abused their trust, they've taken them, helped themselves to things they shouldn't help themselves. Is one allowed to present this test rather than just dismiss the employee from work on the basis of these assumptions? We'll put forward the test. We'll see if he passes the test. If he passes the test, we'll keep him on. And if not, then we'll know he's the one. And that is the essence of the shaila that was presented. So the Sri De'esh starts off. And he says, L'chaira, we have a raya from two gemaras that such an idea is osa. First gemara he brings is the gemara of Matir Daf Ayin Hilmud Beis. The gemara says, someone who has money and he lends it out, Beloy Edim, he gives a loan to somebody, but he doesn't take a proper record with witnesses that he's given that loan, he's over lifnei iver lo yisitei michshel. And the Gemara doesn't clarify why is that. He's given him a loan, he's not. So Rashi on that Gemara says, Mipnesh, it might be olo beliboy lichvoy es hamilve. He may decide to then go ahead and deny that there ever was a loan. I'm going to see it's not so straightforward in a moment. But on that basis, l'chaira, we see from there, you're not allowed to put in somebody, create a circumstance where you're putting a person in the temptation of creating the aveira. There's another Gemara that he brings, Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Beis, that Rav Huna wanted to test out one of his sons. He wanted to see what were his midas like. What was his anger level like. So he used to rip up expensive items in front of him and to see, would he get angry or not? And, well, Valtashka's way was a toyeles, fine. And the one of them asks, what do you mean? Shemo korosach, perhaps he will get angry, v'ovar, alifnei iver loisite mishel. How could Rav Huna do such a test? If the son fails the test, that means Rav Huna has done an aveira. Rav Huna has created a circumstance where his son has got angry with the father, and that's lifnei iver loisite mishel. You have caused someone else to do an aveira. Now, we have several gemaras of lifnei iver loisite mishel. The Gemara says, even by a goy, they're not allowed to pass Eva ben Achai, which is also to a goy. Not allowed to hand it to him, not allowed to hand the case to him. What is the chiddush? What did the Sri De'esh see in this Gemara? More a raya, which is more applicable to the Shaila than the standard Gemara of the Eva Leisit Mishel. The answer is, there's an element of a chiddush. There's an element of a chiddush, and that is, when a nozi asks you for a cup of wine, you know the intention is for him to drink it. He wants to drink that wine. He's asking, please buy me a cup of wine so I can drink it. So you know, he's asking you something which is also for him, something which is not allowed. You're passing it to him, you're giving him a chavas di isurav, which is something which is also to him, with the intention that he's going to drink it. But in these two Gemaras, we don't know the person's going to do an Issa. We don't know there's any intention of doing an Issa. In fact, you don't even want the person to do the Issa. Somebody who lends somebody money, gives the loan, he wants the person to pay him back. He wants the person to be honest and not deny the loan. There's no intention here of any Issa going on here. Ava Bikain, the Gemara says, if you lend him Shloi Be'edim, you'd be able to think of it. Why? Because perhaps he will decide to do that Aveira. You've created a temptation for him to do the Aveira, and he might fall prey to that Nisoyin. That is also constitutes an Issa of the Evelated Mishael. So therefore, if we come back to Arashayla, L'chayro will be Issa based on these Gemaras. That means as follows, you're putting the money there, you don't want the employee to take the money. You don't want him to be over the Issa. Nonetheless, L'chayro, we see from these Gemaras, to create a situation where the person might fall prey to that temptation, you are able to live in the Mishnah. So L'chayro. True. There is a chilu, yes, it's true. Kapolim. There is an Eitzah, he says. What happens if a person will say, listen, I'm prepared to dedicate this money to the cause. I'm prepared to dedicate this money, I'll set this money aside, and I know it's for the test, whether it works or not, but I don't mind not seeing that money again. I don't mind if he takes the worker, if the worker takes it, it's fine. I'll be moichel on him, I'll let him take it. But then I'll know that he's not a credible worker. I'll know he's someone who can't be relied on. I won't employ him again, but he's not being over gazela, because I don't mind if he takes the money. You're marking the money. You're not marking if he takes the money. Well, the shaila here, l'chayr, no, would be even by a goy, because a goy is in the tuvah on gazela. And the Gemara says there's if they even by a goy. You're not allowed to hand even menachai to a goy, the Gemara says. We're going to come to that in a minute. Says the Shri De'esh, that, no, doesn't help you. You haven't gained anything. Why not? What's the Raya? Let's go back to this Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says that Rav Huna, he ripped up the Begodim to see would his son stand up to the test, would he get angry or not? Says the Gemara, maybe he'll get angry. Maybe he'll fail the test. And if he fails, the test. What was the answer to that question? How could Rav Huna do it? He's putting a situation where some might fail. He was moichel his covered. He didn't mind. He was moichel even if his son failed the test. He wanted to see where his son was holding. He wanted to see what level his son was holding at. To establish that, he presented the test. But even if his son were to fail the challenge, he wouldn't be doing an issa getting angry with his father because his father was moichel his covered. Says Tosus on that Gemara, Tzorich Loima, you have to make an akimta in this Gemara and say there's an element missing in this Gemara and say not only was he moichel his covered, but he had previously informed him that he had been moichel his covered. He told his son, you know, I am moichel my covered, even if you get angry with me, you're not over any issa. And then he put the test to him. So why do you have to say that? Says Tosfos, because we have a principle, Bishin is chaven lechel bosa chazir. Someone who tended to eat bosa chazir, v'olo b'yodei bosa teleh, and he ended up eating bosa teleh, tzricha kapora, the Gemara says, v'ilan av, Rav Hashem yislach lo. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva used to cry when he came to this posuk. Madoch, somebody, a woman, she thought she was doing an issa, but really her husband had been matzil an eidah. Without her knowing. And she went and she was over her neder, which she thought was being over her neder, but really, it wasn't being over her neder because her husband had already cancelled the whole neder. Hashem yizach lo. is ma mish is haven less of boss khaze wa la boyad boss tsala he intended to do an avera but he didn't do an avera sorry kapara as it says in the possible shivis khalo mish is haven less of boss khaze wa la boyad boss khaze ala khas kam 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 aga upon we see the Gemara says that even someone who had the intention of doing an avera and he went so far as to do an action which in his mind was an avera but it turns out it really wasn't avera unbeknown to him there was no avera involved sorry kapara you need the kapara for that says Tosfos. So in this Gemara, okay, Rav Huna was Michael, his son. But if his son doesn't know that, what does it help him? So he's getting angry with his father, which to his knowledge is an Avera. Unbeknown to him, his father has been Michael. Doesn't help you. So
it's a cat, is that a rebellion? The fact in itself becomes to cat without anything else.
Yeah, well, that doesn't seem like that. Yeah, that's a good question on the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't seem to say it's a problem because the Gemara says, as long as he's moichel his kovod, it's okay. Why are we worried about the etzem kas of kalakoyis kidu avi dezora, etc. Valid point. But if we stay on the path of the shadow of the discussion of the Iveh, yes, that's what we see. It's a Tosfos that is says that's what we see in the Tosfos. That's what we see in the Tosfos. That if you put somebody in a situation which they're not really doing an Avera, but they think they're doing an Avera, and as a result of that they're going to need the Kapara because of this Gemara of Hashem Yislach Lo, so then you have also been able if the Iveh. That means if the Iveh is not only in creating a situation where someone might do an Avera, it's creating a situation where he might do something which he thinks is an Avera. So therefore, we apply the same thing over here. You're going to put the money there to test the employee, and you want to see, is he going to take the money or not? And you say, even if he takes the money, I don't mind. But obviously the employee doesn't know that, because otherwise there's no point in doing the whole test. The employee thinks he's stealing the money. So as far as the employee knows he's doing an Issa, it's true, unbeknown to the employee, he's not doing an Issa because the employee doesn't mind. But that is a classic example of this Chavon Lecho Boso Chazir, V'Ola B'Yodoi Boso Tzileh, and therefore you'll still be able to think either, even if you're Meichel beforehand, and therefore it's also to do it, even if you're Meichel the money. Now, if we go back to the Gemara of giving a loan, B'loi Eidim, not allowed to give a loan, the Gemara says, Paschal and Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, not allowed to give a loan without taking a proper record of the loan. Why not? Says Rashi, because he might decide to deny that he received the money. Now there's a problem here which is presented on this Gemara, which the Akrimim ask. And that is as follows. We paskun, hamalva es chavir be'edim, someone who gives a loan with witnesses, ein night tzorich l'peiro be'edim. We're not required to pay back be'edim. You can pay it back even without edim. That means as follows. The person, you give a loan to somebody, and you've got two witnesses, you're given the loan, and now there's a dispute. So now, the fact that there was a loan, that's undisputable. That can't be contested. We bring two witnesses, the loan clearly took place. But what happens if he says, I paid the loan back, I returned the loan? So we paskun, even if the loan was given in the presence of witnesses, you don't have to repay the loan in the presence of witnesses. You can repay the loan and say, I've repaid the loan. And then the malva will still be stuck. So what have you gained by giving the loan with Edim? You're worried that the fellow might be tempted to find some way to get out of this loan. If this fellow is really such a conniving character, so he'll just say, I paid it back. Hi, where's your Edim that you paid it back? I didn't have Edim, there was no Edim around. I saw you, I met you in the base manager, there was no Edim around. I saw you, I bumped into you on the street, I paid you back. Shalom, so I've got Edim that I gave you the money, I lent you the money. Yeah, we can't contest that. But I said, I paid you back, and there's no record. Didn't I have receipt? There wasn't. Yeah, fine.
Maybe because his lie is directly connected to, his tithe is directly connected to the lender's
error.
Why not? That's the question that I'm going to ask. What have we gained? If we're worried that you're presenting him with a temptation which he might fail, why are we worried? So you're saying because the Edim is his responsibility? Not, the only reason why his responsibility is to prevent the lift the Iver. There's no real responsibility for him to have Edim. The whole.
You've also to make a loan against them.
Well, you have to find some way, an agreement that you can't pay back. You can specify, a person can specify that I'm lending you be'edim, and the payment has to be also in front of witnesses. You can't specify that. But we're talking about where someone doesn't specify that, it's not required to pay for witnesses, and that's obviously not a problem. The two mahalchim, which the 3-8 brings, one of the Lecha Mishnah, and one of the Urim Tumim Yonis and Ibashit. Essentially, they both focus around the same principle. That when somebody lends somebody money, we're not choshed that this guy is an out-and-out Rasha. We're not choshed that the fellow is going to say, I never borrowed money off you. You don't have to worry about that. That's not lifne'iveh. You don't have to take that possibility into account that the fellow might turn around and lie to you straight in your face and say, it could happen. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. But to say that a person who lends somebody money is even if they either because the person might turn around and lie to his face, no. We're talking about people who are Rishoyim here. The Lecha Mishnah says, that which Rashi says, that when you lend them somebody money without Edim, you're presenting a temptation that he might deny the loan, it means because he might forget about it. Over the course of time, a person may have forgotten that he's taken that loan. And if there's no proper records, so you will come to deny that you borrowed that money. Shemo Yishkach. So therefore, it's important to have a proper record that the loan took place. As long as the loan is recorded, the witnesses says clearly the loan took place. So Nachalami, it's true. If the person was a conniving character, if the person was a thief, if the person was trying to get out of it, he could still get out of it. He could still say, I paid you back. Shalai Be'edim, I paid you back, I've got no record of the payment, but I repaid you. But that's not the Chashashi. The Chashashi is you're presenting something where the situation itself, over the course of time, might cause him, which in itself is a Chiddush, because there's a discussion in the Achronim, is it a Lifnei Ive, where the person doesn't know that he's doing an Aveirah? Okay. And Rabbi Yonos Ibershit says, that a person isn't going to deny that he borrowed money from somebody out and out lie. But he could say, any idea? I don't remember. I don't know. I'm not clear. Could be I borrowed. Could be I didn't. You say I borrowed the money. I don't know. So now, in Chayish Mishpat, there's an intrinsic nafka minna. What's the halacha? If somebody borrows money, so two people come to Din Torah, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben says, I lent Shimon money. Shimon says, I don't know. I don't remember if he lent me money. Could be he did. Could be he didn't. You have to prove that you lent him the money. You prove you lent him the money, you get your money. You don't prove, you can't prove you lent the money, you can't get the money. What happens if Reuben and Shimon come to Din Torah and they both agree there was a loan? But Shimon says, you know, I'm not sure if I've repaid the loan. I definitely borrowed the money. It could be I repaid it. I can't say for certain. There is a chance that I repaid it. I'm not sure. It could be I didn't. It could be I'm getting mixed up with somebody else. But I think I might have paid it back. I don't know. What's the halacha in that case?
What
is Shimon? How much of a As we said a minute ago, if you don't know that you borrowed the money, I might be a chaviraya. The guy doesn't get a penny. But if you don't know whether you repay the loan, then you have to pay the whole loan. Any idea in this chayavti is potter. I don't know if there was ever a chiyav. I might be a chaviraya is potter. Any idea in parati, I know for sure, certainly I was chayav. I don't need to bring a raya that there was a chiyav. There is a definite chiyav in place. You don't know if you passed your chiyav, then you're mechuyav to pay. That's the halacha. So when there's no vaday chiyuv, there's no established chiyuv, so you have to establish the chiyuv. If you don't establish that chiyuv, you lose the case. But when there's a vaday chiyuv, and we don't know whether that chiyuv has been settled, we don't know whether that debt has been repaid, then he's mechuyav to pay. So now it says it's mechuyav. Hamal v'es chaveroi shaloi be'edim. If the person says, I lent you money, and there's no proper witnesses here to say that loan's been recorded. So now you're presenting a situation, a difficult situation for the borrower. He might just say, I don't know whether there was a loan or not. If he says, I don't know whether there's a loan and there's no proper record, he's going to win the case. But once you've lent him, be'edim, so now the only way that he can get out of it is to say, I don't know if I paid it back. He's not going to lie out and out right and say, I paid it back. He's not going to lie to the guy in his face. He might try and I don't know, maybe I paid it back. You don't know whether you paid it back. You're going to have to repay it. Now, what's the point of these two. What does Sfidi Eish want from these two Lechem Mishnah and Tumim? What he wants is as follows, is that they both share a common denominator, in that the principle that we saw, the Chiddush in the Gemara that says, you're setting up a circumstance, you're setting up temptation for some to do Naveira as if they Iver, is not dealing with a Cheshash that a person will be over Aveira Bereshus. The whole Cheshash is where a person might fall to get into a way out, he might forget, he might say he doesn't know, etc., etc. But there's no Cheshash that a person is going to directly be over an Aveira, and if he does, you're not over Lifnei Iver. That's not Lifnei Iver, it's not Lifnei Iver setting up people to Yerushalayim. So he says as follows. So now let's go back to our case. You want to put money there to test the employee. You're going to put the money in the room, and then you're going to walk out. So now, what are the options in front of this employee? The only option that he has, he can't say, oh, I don't know, maybe that's my money. Oh, maybe I've forgotten my money over here. There's no such, those options aren't available to him. The only option to him is to be over gezeila. So, we're not choshish a person is a rosha. You're not mechuzi choshish a person is a rosha. The fact that you want to verify and be certain that the person is 100% credible, and that's why you're doing this test, does not make this Lifnei Iver. When you're creating a situation where the only way the person will do that behavior is if he's a Rosha, and you have no reason to believe the person's a Rosha, he's not a Nazir who's asking you to pass him a cup of wine. You have no reason the person wants to do an Aveira. A person is Becheskes Kashrus. You don't have to be Choshed. A person is going to do that Aveira. That's not Lifnei Iver. You want to do the test to establish 100% certainty that that is the case, so you're allowed to do it. I think Gemara about Matthias says not allowed to lend Shlovetim. Yeah, because there the person has a way of doing the Aveira without exposing himself to the full guilt of the crime. He can forget. He can say, he can melamed zchus and say, perhaps I did, perhaps I didn't, etc., etc., etc. Lefize says the Sfidi Eish, it should be in this situation, he would allow it. He also brings a Ridva. He wants to bring another het up. Here, Ridva. The Ridva is an Avod Zorah Dasama Gimbal, where the Gemara talks about a person who's allowed to give money to his workers, and they will go buy themselves the food, and they might buy themselves food which they really shouldn't be buying for themselves. They might buy themselves Shvias, Demei Shvias, Yaines, it's all sort of information. But you're allowed to give money to the workers, says the Ridva. What's the Pshat in that? Pshat is, giving money to a worker is not a chefsa disur bichal. Money can be used for anything. He can use it to buy heta. He can use it to buy issa. He can choose. He has the options. All the options are open to him. There's nothing issa be'etzem in giving money to a worker. Wine to a nozi is a chefsa disur. Eiv ben achai to a goy is a chefsa disur. But here, there is be'etzem nothing which is also to him. The money is money which can be used for anything. No, he could buy the food, he could make sure, he could make sure he goes to the right place. You see, there are ways that he could restrict it to ensure that only things which are permitted, that the money gets useful. Is, he doesn't explain, so he says, so in our case as well, what is the chesed yitzurah here? You're leaving money in the room, you're walking out. Where's the chesed yitzurah? And he says your argument is even better than this case, you're not doing any maisa at all. You're just leaving the money in the room, you're walking out of the room, there's no chesed yitzurah at all. Now, he doesn't really explain, though, this point is a bit troubling me, what's the difference between the Ritva and the Gemara in Bamotzia? The whole point that he started out with is his whole Sad to Asa, which he's coming to argue against now, is based on Bamotzia. You're giving a loan to somebody for Edim, you're creating a temptation for him to do the Aveira, and therefore, Lachayu, this is similar to that. But there's no Chesed Yisur either. When you give somebody, you loan somebody money, there's no Chesed Yisur, the options are all open to him. No, you're not asking him to deny. You don't want him to deny the loan. So what Be'etzim is the difference between that and the Ritva, he doesn't explain. Blade? Hmm? What's Blaidim? Yeah, but that's so. But money Blaidim is not Be'etzim and Issa. It's a Halva. What's the difference between that and the Ritva? So when you give money to a worker and you know that he might go and buy things he shouldn't be buying, you don't have to use the money for, that's not a problem, says Ritva. So it's not creating the temptation here, maybe it's creating the temptation as well. Okay. So then L'chaira here, it should be also, because here you're also creating a temptation. Okay. Derek Agavi says that he saw B'Sefer Echod, the reason why we're not makpid on this halacha, that you're not allowed to lend Shaloi Be'edim, The reason why we're not makbid this van hazeh, you know, is because you have the option always of being moichel. If the guy turns around and decides not to pay you back, you can be moichel him, you can let the loan go. And at that hochi, you know you're lending him shalei be'edim, he might deny it. So then he says that's not correct. That was seen from Tosfos that to lend somebody money and they don't know that you're being moichel them and they go and deny the loan, it's not going to help you. Because the person, as far as he's aware, according to all the information that he has at this moment in time, he's doing an aveira. He's in the Scham Alech HaBos HaZev, or HaBos HaZev. Tosfos says, the only way of getting out of that is if you inform a person beforehand. And obviously that's not going to be an Eitz over here. Now, so the Sri H, the Kabbalah, the Esmer Shaila, he allows the person to do this test. Even though Lechayr and Shaila Lifnei Iver here, but he says we're not dealing with Rishoyim, there's no Lifnei Iver in such a situation. Rishoyim Zalman in his Tshuva is not so clear, but he says he would rather a person does the test than dismiss the worker without giving him that chance. Oh, but there's a Chiddush, what comes out of all of this is, there's a Chiddush, there's a Shaila of Lifnei Iver in the Mishra, and the Chiddush is that we extend this Lifnei Iver in the Mishra even to something which is not an Aveira. That means to call somebody to do an Aveira, we said, is also. And we said, proves from a Tosfos, that even to cause somebody to do something which they think they're doing an Aveira, is also Lifnei Iver, which itself is a Chiddush, and has a few nachminas, speak about that in a minute. That's some Londus, the Chassam Sofer, in Parshas Matos, Hashem Yisrach Lo, says, what's Taka Peshat? Person who thinks they're doing an Aveira, they're not really doing an Aveira, they need a Kaporo. We know, Machshava ro in a Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lamaisa. A Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't normally reckon, doesn't account for Machshava ro. So he has two terutzim. He has two terutzim. One terutz is, a Machshava to do an Aveira. And then you stop. All you thought was, I intend to do an Aveira, and you don't do anything. On that, there's no bonus. In a Kodesh Baruch Hu Machshava ro lamaisa. But where a person intended to do an Aveira, and he went so far as to do an action which he thought that action was an Aveira, he thinks when he's eating this piece of meat, it's Chazah. So not only he intended to do an Aveira, he went so far as to actually theorize what he thought was an Aveira to do a Maisa, so that's different. So that Maisa, which you thought was an Aveira, is the Kavara, not the Machshav. And the second terrorist, he says, this, no, we do find that Machshava needs a Kapara. Oila, you told Chazal tell us, one of the things in Machshava is Mechap on the hero, Aveira. It ain't a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mitzarfa Lamaisa, it doesn't get reckoned, it doesn't get the same severity, it doesn't get counted with a Maisa, with an action. It's not on the same level. So I saw someone to suggest whether there's Lifnei Iver on this, might be trailed on these two Terutzim of the Tzav Sefer. If the Issa is the Maisa, the Etzem eating that meat is the Issa, is the Maisa. So when you give him a piece of meat, if you give somebody a piece of meat, and he thinks it's chazah, and he eats it, well, you're over Lifnei Iver. Really, it's not. Really, it's mohudda deka meat. But he thinks it's chazah. And on that says Hashem Yisrach Lo. Was the person who handed that meat over Lifnei Iver or not? So he won't say it's turned to him. If the mice are eating is what's it is, so fine. If we're saying, when the other terrorists are saying that it's really the machshava that's the problem. So on the machshava lechera, there was no Lifnei Iver. You hand them a piece of meat. There's nothing to do with the involved with the machshava that he's doing. Possibly. If he knows she's going to go and eat it, why is he actually assuming? No, he doesn't have to assume she's going to be over that aveira. He doesn't have to assume she's going to be over the neder, but unknowing.
If he knows that she might be
over, maybe. Fine. What's the argument of the Maisa? Chavos Chaim brings this Tosfos, that if they either on. There's a Lifnei Iver on Nischam Nechmas Chazios there, and he says a Nafkimin al Gabi Echaz Oshin Ara. He says, what happens if somebody needs information about somebody else? He asks somebody, do you know about so and so and so? So normally, you're not allowed to say anything derogatory about somebody, but whether there's a Tehillah involved, then under certain circumstances, you're allowed to. If a person needs to know for a shidduch, if a person needs to know for a business advice, to prevent him that hesed, to prevent him that loss, providing you fulfill the criteria that Chofetz Chaim sets forth, you're allowed to. So what happens now if the person you're asking is unaware? So you decide to chapash muzim. You don't want him to know that you're asking for a shidduch. You don't want him to know your personal things, what's going on with your shidduchim. So you start shmuzim with him, and one thing comes to another, and you start talking about so and so, and you find out about him, all the things you want to know, and all the things you don't want to know. So namaisa, you're allowed to do it. The tayelas, he needs to know this information. But the person who was telling you the information, he was unaware that everything that he was telling you was necessary for him to tell you. As far as he's concerned, he's giving defamatory information for no real basis. He's over Lashon Hara? No. He's not over Lashon Hara. He was allowed to say it. But he's over Nischav Lechel Bosachazir, what was that? Therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, says it gets even worse. The Chofetz Chaim starts getting to one of his rants, and he says it gets even worse. Not only that, the person doesn't know he's asked about Shidduchim, so he doesn't ask about that person first. He starts asking about other people first, and slowly, he'll get around to the person he's talking about, where the first people he's asking about weren't even relevant. But, okay, fine. The Chofetz Chaim says, the proper procedure is, if you need to know that information, you have to say, listen to the person, I'm asking about so and so and so. The reason I'm asking you is because I need to know, because of the Shidduch, because we're going to do a business deal because X, Y, and Z. Therefore, you're allowed to tell me the information, and this information I need to know. You don't have to be worried that perhaps the person won't tell you. If he knows the Nogia, for sure, he's not going to tell you. Yeah. So perhaps if he knows the Nogia, he's going to wreck a business deal, he's not going to tell you. Says the Chofetz Chaim, since when do we find that you're allowed to be over an Issa to prevent yourself having a loss? That is the halacha. You're not allowed to, the Yen is not allowed to tell you the information unless he knows that he's doing it for a permitted purpose. If you cause him to do that, you're able to lift the iver. And therefore, the only way that you can get the information is if you first tell him. I saw someone who then wants to extend this, raises this issue, says, what happens if there's somebody collecting stocker and you're not sure about the worthiness of his cause? You don't know if it's genuine, you don't know if the person turns up, you don't know, you have reason to suspect that perhaps he might not be genuine. You're not giving a large sum anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference to you, so you give him 50 pence, and so if it's genuine, it's genuine, if not, I let him have it. So it's possible that there's been an ischam alecha bos chazir, what was it lehe? And by giving him the 50 pence, it raises that tzorion. And the most interesting extension application that I saw is, there's someone brings a sefer. There's a sefer called Noam HaMitzvos, and Tayyim Mitzvos Kahaskama from the Yisrael Meach, from Yisrael Ponovitcher. And there, he has a short paragraph at the beginning of the sefer where he says that min haroyu, it really would be appropriate for anyone who writes a sefer to say that if someone quotes any chiddush from my sefer without quoting it b'shmi, I'm oichel them. I let you know why. He doesn't say it's a neighbor, but he says, because otherwise you're creating a situation where someone's quoting your sefer, quoting something b'shimcho, without giving you the appropriate cover. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Kol shechaveyo inena shayodoi, eino inichlas mechitzosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who causes his friend to get an einish, is that Kadosh Baruch is not happy? Lo yigur chora. Kadosh Baruch is not lo yitoyv. Enish tzadik lo yitoyv. It's not good for a tzadik to cause someone else to get an einish. So therefore, it's appropriate for anyone who writes a sefer to write out another sefer. If you quote any chiddush from a sefer and you don't give me the appropriate respect, the appropriate comfort, I'm echiv tchilo. That's what he said, and that's what I'm doing. I don't quote anything from my sefer. It was a very interesting application. Then he's not moichel, and on the sefer, there's the copying of the sefer. I don't know if saying over a chiddush, it's very interesting that a person wouldn't mind someone saying over the chiddush and doesn't say b'shmi, but okay. One says Rabbi Yechon was makpit. Akuponim, so we've seen the Esma Shaila, the Shaila which is presented by the Shvide Eish and Rishon Muzalman Oyerbach. Is a person allowed to put money out to test an employee or not? Lech Oyra, you put out money to leave an employee to test his honesty, you're creating a situation where you're tempting him to be over the Esma Gezela, it should be lift ne'iveh. And the dinion to that is the two Gemaras, one Gemara of lending somebody without Edim, and the other Gemara where Rav Huna ripped up clothes to test his son. And the Gemara says that's a problem of Ne'iveh, even though it's not a Chesed Yisur, but you're creating a situation where he might be able to Issa, that's problematic. And we've seen that Tosfos extends that even to a case where there's no real Avera involved. But the person thinks he's being over an Avera, so that is also a problem. The Swedish then changes counter argues and says, no, it would be allowed because the Isselen Beschleuber Edim, the Isselen somebody money without witnesses is only because we don't suspect him of being totally dishonest, because he might forget or he might say he doesn't know. But where the whole Cheshash is a person being over an Avera, then there's no Iver, and therefore he allows it. And we've seen the Nafkaminas is the Gabi. Shmuel Saloshon, the Gabi Hilchos Saloshon Hora. I'll just finish off with you, tell you a story. Mordechai Shkochopotis, I just came back, just after Tisha B'Av, I came back from America. And I was in America, I met a fellow there called, his first name is Richie. And Richie said, where are you from, Manchester? Okay, give regards, somebody in Manchester. So I came back, the next night I was at Chasna, and I saw that fellow. And I said to him, Richie sends you regards. So he says to me, do you know Richie's story? So I said, no. So, you know, he hasn't been so well. So I said, yeah, no, he looked very schwach. He had a kidney transplant recently. And yeah, it was much more than that. Richie was kemat gone. His kidneys failed. He needed a transplant. He was very low down on the list to get a transplant. The doctors were really not happy with him. And he says that he really didn't have so much to do with him. He had business to do with him, but he hadn't had so much to do with him. But he bumped into the fellow who was in charge of this kidney transplant organization, and the fellow B'Mikra said to him, you know, we had success today. Somebody in Far Rockaway. So he says, was it RJ? So the fellow said, yeah, how do you know? It's all anonymous. So it's a small world. So he decided to give this Richie a call. And he spoke to him for a while. He called up Richie. He said, Richie was so weak that he came up and speak to him on the telephone. But Richie said to him, you know what? Next time you're in America, stop by and visit me. Next time you're in New York, stop by and visit me. So the fellow had the plane, a connecting flight going through New York. The next time he had a connecting flight going through New York, he was there for 4 hours in the airport. So he called up Richie to say hello. Richie said, come, let's go out. We'll go out to a restaurant, we'll go out for lunch. So they went to a restaurant, and he comes to the restaurant, and suddenly Richie is the biggest hero of this restaurant. And there's one waiter though who's mummish falling over his feet to do what he can. And he says, I'm also a hero because I'm Richie's friend. So Richie says, I'll tell you what's the story with this waiter. So that 15 years ago, this waiter messed up, did something wrong, and he ended up going to prison for 4 years. For 4 years, the whole world forgot about this fellow. Except for me. Every Sunday, I used to travel 3 hours there, 3 hours back, to visit this fellow. Wait till he got out of prison. Fast forward 11 years later. 11 years later, I'm lying there in hospital. And the kidney transplant organization gets a phone call from a woman. The kidney transplant organization gets a phone call from a woman and says, I'd like to donate a kidney to this Richie fellow. So the kidney organization fellow says, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. We have a whole testing procedure. You come in, we test you for a match. We have a whole decision procedure. We have a whole Seda Hakadima, who comes first, who's a waiting list. There's a whole, who's the biggest match, who's the best match. So the lady says, listen, you don't understand. I'm not interested in giving away a kidney. I don't mind giving a kidney to Richie. You want to take my kidney, give it to Richie? I don't mind. You don't want to take it? I'm not giving it. Baruch Hashem, the guy had enough seichel to say, okay, fine, come along, we'll do a test, we'll see if you're a match, Michal. Came along, did the test, gave a match. Says, this lady was this fellow's wife. I go upon him, you see, the Ashkach HaProtis, Chasei Hashem, you do Gminat Chasodim, Akash Baruch Hu is never forgotten. Ksiva Ksiva Tov, Rabbi Isai. Thank you.